Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. I'm Daniel Yafusi. That is David Neal. Thanks so much for tuning in. Quick reminder before we start, make sure to subscribe to the Miami Herald YouTube page, like, share, comment, as well as subscribe to the Miami Herald. Now, if you are watching on YouTube, you can tell I'm not in South Florida, as I said before.
But you could see his very good line on the haircut there. That is a smooth line. That's
good. You know, I appreciate you noticing.
Yeah.
I got the fresh cut. I had a do-rag on my flight from South Florida to Indianapolis, where my home base will be for this week for the NFL scouting combine. We've got over 300 draft prospects who are going to be all conglomerated here for tests, measurements, interviews, and the Dolphins' top decision makers will be here as well. We're going to hear from Mike McDaniel Tuesday. We're going to hear from Chris Greer at some point in the week. We're going to have a lot of updates. You know, obviously, the top event is the combine, but it's going to be a lot of news to come out of this week. But before this jam packed week, the Dolphins had a lot of news their way with some big moves as they look ahead to free agency in the 2024 season. Two notable names on the defensive side of the ball, Xavien Howard and Emmanuel Ogba, were released, or at least Ogba was released. Howard was informed that he will be released at the start of the new league year. We'll really start with him being the longest tenured player on the team, one of the greatest players in franchise history. He had been with the team since 2016. He will not be a Dolphin as they part ways. And obviously, Ogba had been here for the past 4 years. I think, you know, as we kind of start and get into this, I think both of these moves were expected, especially Ogba. You know, he didn't have any guaranteed money on his contract. Didn't play a lot this past year, dealt with the triceps. You know, there's just 2 years into that big four-year, $65 million contract he signed. But he just was never able to recapture that form. So no guaranteed money there. That was something that was expected on both sides. That was something that towards, or at least on locker room cleanout day, it seemed like it really could be a legit, you know, thing with, again, him not having any more money on his contract. He was asked if he would take a pay cut. He didn't seem like he would want to be pay cut. And I mentioned before, when I asked Chris Greer whether Xavien Howard was going to be on the team in 2024, he gave a very non-committal answer and said that we're going to treat X like we treat anybody. So again, they clear about $13.7 million by releasing Ogba with the pre-June 1 cut. They'll be able to use that immediately. And they really do need that because we talked about it last week about Christian Wilkins and the franchise tag. The Dolphins are over the cap, so they got to free up some money. So that was the beginning of that process. X is a little bit different. This is going to be a post-June 1 cut, so they're not going to get the $18.5 million they're set to get until after June 1st. June 2nd is when they'll be able to use it, but that could come in handy down the road. The question is, again, while these moves were expected, were they the right moves, and how do they change the Dolphins' outlook? I think that, you know, for starting with Ogba, it doesn't change too much there, because I think that he didn't, you know, provide as much as you had hoped to, after signing that deal. And I think that outside linebacker, edge defender was kind of already a position that we knew the Dolphins had to address. Jalen Phillips is coming back. He talked at the Dolphins Challenge Cancer event last weekend. And, you know, while he said he's feeling good, he said he's not going to put a timeline on it. You know, that's still an Achilles injury. And obviously Bradley Chubb is coming back from the ACL injury. So I don't think anything changes there. That move was kind of like, we kind of all expected that. Like, when we were kind of accounting for the Dolphins 24, we assumed that. The X move is interesting to me because I think we all saw X as a player who was getting up there in age, who was having A lot of injuries the past couple of years. You know, he dealt with the groin injury in 2022. He had the foot sprain in 2023 that ended his season kind of prematurely in week 17, I believe it was. But I was of the belief and, you know, the impression that he played very well. He played pretty well in Vic Fangio's scheme. And I know that you can save money there, and it's kind of like the Patriot kind of way of thinking where you get out of the contract 1 year early instead of maybe 1 year too late. Maybe it was a little bit of that going on. But I thought that for a team that is kind of all in, they're very much in the mode of trying to win a Super Bowl right now in this upcoming season. I thought that X was a guy that if you could find some common ground on a reworked contract, I would have loved to see them try to do that. Now, our own Barry Jackson, had some reporting days before he was cut, X was cut, and he said that, you know, to his knowledge, from his sources, X hadn't been asked to take a pay cut. I'm very interested to see, to hear Chris Greer talk about this in a couple of days and see whether he can kind of explain the thought process. But I would have loved for them to be, if they could find a way to keep X, because that's now another position where it's a need. You know, there's really no proven players after Jalen Ramsey, so you go in like, all right, you have to. Unless you're gonna hope that one of these young guys steps up, whether it's a Cam Smith, Ethan Bonner, maybe a Kader Kohu, but he's a slot corner. Your offseason need, you got to add cornerback to that. What did you think about really about the X cut? Because I think that again, Ogbo was expected,
Yeah.
and again, that's kind of the end of an era with him as well.
The X cut is it's hard to it's an easy cut if you're just being a bean counter, which in our industry we've dealt, you know, we know about bean counters who don't know, you know, who just go by the, you know, little numbers with the dollar signs next to them and just, you know, make decisions like that, or tell people to make decisions in that manner, and your product tends to wind up being worse because you are going to lose you're going to lose talent, and you're going to lose talent that has value beyond, you know, just certain numbers. That said, you are where you are with the cap, and there's you need to get under it.
I mean,
And
with X, but the thing with X is that the thing with X is
and
that X isn't going to count until way out. Like they're gonna that doesn't count until June 2nd. So this was a very much like we are ready to just part ways with you. It wasn't like
right.
we're doing this because we got to get under the cap and do it in the next 3 weeks. So that wasn't the reason why they cut X from my perspective.
Then we move to the next part that I was going to say that I was getting to in the alternative universe, that you've got a very good, sometimes great, shutdown corner who hasn't been available at times in the past 2 seasons and at key times most recently. So that's not a The combination is not a, you know, does usually doesn't end with people saying, yeah, we really want you to keep you on. And, you know, his, and, you know, they knew his attitude toward taking a pay cut. So, you know, what, you know, why waste everybody's time with that? That I can't, I'm going to get, if they had brought it up to him, you know, in the past couple of weeks, you think that would have been the first time this would have been mentioned, even casually? No, of course not. So, you know, all that adds up to, yeah, he's got, you know, they got a good run out of him, and let's their philosophy is let somebody else pay him and hope he stays healthy.
Yeah, but I mean, but that brings up the question now. How do you address that? Because again, cornerback can come
You're not
in.
going now. The downside is you're not going to unless, I mean, unless you make a real move in the draft and you find gold in the draft, you're not going to replace him. You're not your his replacement is not going to be as good as he is.
I mean, we've seen, I mean, obviously, I mean,
And
we're just a year removed from them traded for Jalen Ramsey. So I mean, hey, the right now the option that you have internal options. I think the top internal option would probably be Cam Smith. I thought he looked good last summer, and the fact that he couldn't get any playing time, I think he was definitely in Vic Fangio's doghouse. Like that's the, like now that Vic Fangio, like we can say it, he was in Vic Fangio's doghouse. As soon as Fangio they parted ways with him, he put Cam Smith tweeted out like a unlocked emoji. So like he was like, I think he may have been the happiest person out of all the players who maybe. So that's the internal option. My thing is for a team that is already so limited with their cap flexibility and doesn't have a ton of draft capital, now for that to come, like that's a major need now. Like
Yeah, it
that's
is.
as major of a need as outside linebacker or maybe interior offensive line. Because I mean, again, teams can just if Jalen Ramsey wants to shut down one side of the field, great. We'll see what Anthony Weaver does with him. But if he's staying on one side, teams are just gonna pick on the other guy. And we saw that when Ramsey was out the first half of the year and X was in there. They were just going at Cam Smith. Excuse me, they were going at Eli Apple. They were going at Kader Kohou. So that's why I say, especially in a league where you're or a conference where you're playing, Josh Allen, you're playing Lamar Jackson, you're playing Patrick Mahomes, you're playing Justin Herbert, you're playing all these guys. Like you need, like that's what made or that's what why we thought the Dolphins defense was going to be so special last year because you have two shutdown guys on both sides of the field. They're only able to play about 7 or 8 games together, but now, again, cornerback becomes a legitimate need. And again, you have to devote resources to fill that. Those are resources that could have been used to, whether it's financially or cap or draft capital wise, that could go in another direction. Again, we'll see what Chris Greer says this week. But I would have loved, and again, maybe they did bring it up to him before, and he wasn't receptive to taking a pay cut, which is why they said we're not even going to try to deal with it some more. We're just going to get it out the way. But it feels like that was a move that maybe, like, if they're really trying to go all in, as we've kind of labeled them, it felt like maybe they could have squeezed out one more year and try to see what happens instead of cutting losses with him, albeit age, injury history, and now you're making that an offseason need, a top offseason need, in my opinion.
Right, but it okay, you keep him, and then what? And then okay, you've got that, but you're
And well,
you've got you've got
real quick, I will acknowledge that, if we're gonna kind of play devil's advocate, who's to say that X wouldn't have asked for more money? Because we've seen this where, there's no more guaranteed money on his contract, the guaranteed money runs out, and he asked to re-up. So I don't know, like I'm not gonna speak out of turn. I don't know that maybe he wasn't gonna ask for more, and the Dolphins probably wouldn't have been willing to guarantee a ton of money on the contract further. So I will acknowledge that that's maybe in play as well. But again, I feel like it was something where if they're really trying to maximize this window that we talk about, it felt like having X on the team for 2024 was better than, cutting him, taking your 18 mil in June 2nd when, there's not even anybody else available in free agency, and now you gotta fill that need. That's just my opinion.
Okay, but I mean it. I think plenty of teams get by with, a J obviously Jalen Ramsey and Xavien Howard. If Xavien Howard's healthy and if both are healthy and playing to their where they are right now in their careers, you arguably have the best outside corner duo in the league.
One of the best, for sure.
If Maybe the best. I mean, not a lot. But there are plenty of teams getting by with only one guy like that.
I guess I'm looking at it like big picture with the Dolphins and knowing that they're probably not going to have Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb to start the season. It would help a lot. It would help a lot to have two guys who can lock down.
Well, yeah, but now if you're not going to have them to start the season, you better have somebody who can get to the quarterback. And look, given the choice of the shutdown corner or somebody who can get to the quarterback with some kind of regularity, I go with the latter. But it's not fun for it's not a choice any defensive coach or personnel person would want to make. But if you have to do that, rather get to the quarterback before he throws the ball. And there's more that can happen there, that more that can affect the game there. And So
Yeah, I mean, so again, it was an
it's
expected move.
unfortunate.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because X is definitely, he's one of the greatest Dolphins, the greatest players to put on a Dolphins jersey. I'm of the opinion that one day he'll be in the Ring of Honor and most likely. But it's you don't always kind of get that ending where you're with the team for the entirety of your career and you get to kind of go off into the sunset. His agent tweeted out, not a lot of lockdown corners are on the market. NFL Network reportedly is going to have a robust market, so we'll see where he lands. But in the meantime, the Dolphins, again, they've got a busy offseason ahead of them. And last Friday was just the start of that. Cutting Emmanuel Ogba, cutting Xavier Howard, recouping some cap savings, and then we'll see how they fill those holes in the coming weeks. All right, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back on the other side of things, we had the agent of a top Dolphins free agent give an interesting update on that player's plans for next month. We're going to discuss that and how that development affects the Dolphins' plans in free agency, as well as we got to talk about it, the hypothetical trade that sent Dolphins Twitter ablaze last week. We got to discuss that to round things out. Stay locked with us, and we'll be back soon.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, everybody? Still here on the Dolphins of That podcast, but David Neal talking all things Dolphins. Now, in the first half, we broke down last week's big news of Miami cutting Emmanuel Agba, informing Xavier Howard that they will be releasing him at the start of the new league year. So the defense is set to look very different in 2024. The offense could look pretty different as well. Miami has several notable free agents on that top offense, particularly on the offensive line with three starters, Isaiah Wynn, Rob Hunt, and Connor Williams. Connor Williams was looking like he was set for a very, very big payday, but obviously sustained the unfortunate ACL injury in the Titans game late in the season. He is rehabbing from that ACL injury, and his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, was speaking on the Joe Rose Show late last week and gave a little bit of an update on his client. He suggested that the ACL rehab could actually delay Connor Williams signing with a team next month. The exact quote was, "I do think we're going to be very methodical and take our time relative to the contract. A lot of it may be predicated on how Connor is feeling physically. He may not be a pet player that signs at the very start of free agency. He may take more time based on how he's feeling physically." Now, obviously, last year, Connor Williams was looking for a new contract. He skipped all the voluntary mandatory spring workouts. He eventually came or arrived for training camp. He said, "I'm putting that behind me. I'm just here to play ball." So there was obviously some disagreement in terms of compensation there. The ACL injury has seemingly only kind of complicated that. And now we have his agent saying that, hey, this injury might delay his process, his free agency process. Knowing that, and knowing obviously the Dolphins have a need right now with him set to be a free agent, should the Dolphins move off? Should they move on? Should they wait to see what his market is? How should they address Connor Williams in free agency, knowing that he might wait? So you might be able to get him for a bargain, but You might miss out on some other options in the draft and in free agency. How do they approach this Connor Williams situation?
It's your center. You approach it as you deal with it as quickly as possible, because I think that best serves the Dolphins to just deal with it as if, okay, if you're not ready to be an option early on, then you have to operate as if he's not an option. I mean, that's a key position on any offense, and you can't sit around and you can't kind of play the hoping game or roll the dice with that. It's you're not ready to see where you are, and frankly, maybe the Dolphins are a little about re-signing him. But whatever the Dolphins are going to do, they just need to do their thing. They really can't worry about, okay, Connor Williams doesn't want to, he might not hit the free agent market until later, until you figure out exactly what's up with his ACL, which I'm sure teams would be like, okay, yeah, we kind of want to know what's up with your injury too. So I think the Dolphins just kind of have to say, okay, fine, you do you. We got to take care of this business.
Yeah, it's a tough spot because obviously, he's coming off an ACL, so you probably have some reservations about how that's going to hold up. Obviously, ACL recoveries and returns, like they're not, it's not, how it was, 15, 20, 25 years ago, where it was like really kind of sapped you of your prime, of your career. Guys have come back and very quickly returned back to their old form. So maybe you don't have as many reservations about that, but you don't know if he's going to be ready for the start of the season. I mean, that's the main thing. So even like, let's say you resign him and, you plan for him to be your center for the future. If he's not ready for the start of the season, you need to have a capable backup as well. Obviously, Liam Eichenberg filled in and, I give him props for, playing a position that he's never played before and whatnot and, trying his best. But I think that we'd all acknowledge that they need to get a legitimate backup center, especially if Connor Williams is going to take some time. On his return. But I've seen some people kind of floated out there like, hey, maybe you can wait until, the second, third wave of free agency after the draft. They're gonna have an influx of post June 1 money, you could call it, obviously with cutting X. They could probably make some other cuts and get some money. And maybe you can get them for the cheap. I don't know if I'd play that game, honestly. At this point, especially because
no,
that first wave of free agency, It moves so fast. I would hate for them to kind of be waiting. I don't think they're gonna wait for him. I think that they're gonna say, hey, this is our offer. If you want it, you can take it. If not, we'll move accordingly and we'll move on to the next option.
Right.
And again, the ACL only complicates things. Because he had a price that he felt that he was worth, and I'm sure he probably hasn't budged off of it too much, and the Dolphins haven't budged off of their price too much. And it's unfortunate because Connor has played very, very well. Transitioning from guard to center, he's been one of the best centers in the NFL the past 2 years. But now with not only there being a disagreement over the contract and now the ACL uncertainty, it feels like, I don't know, if I'm the Dolphins, I feel like, hey, if there's a guy out there who I think can do a comparable job to Connor, we have to move accordingly,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's some options in the draft as well. I mean, I'm gonna have some stories this week about some of these interior offensive line, these center options. There's some options for the Dolphins, especially in the first two rounds. If they want to get a center, a young center of the future, that you can kind of mold and kind of be the leader of that offensive line, there's some options. But yeah, I don't know. It just feels like, I don't know. I'm not saying this based off any sourcing or anything, but it seems like it's going to be maybe an uphill battle for Connor to come back to Miami just based off of, these comments. Because, nobody wants to be waiting for a player, Teams are going to move very quickly once the free agency process starts. And, maybe Connor waiting is him feeling confident about his market. Maybe that's what it is. Because I don't know anybody that says, hey, I'm going to wait to sign a deal. So maybe that's him feeling confident about his market, but who knows?
Yeah, I know about that. I
mean, hey, what other reason? What other reason would you just? I mean, maybe that, I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to look at it through his lens. You know, he's saying that, you know, he's waiting to see how he feels physically. So maybe he wants to show teams, because again, the Dolphins aren't the only team that maybe has interest in Connor, but also has reservations about that knee. So maybe he's saying, hey, we're going to wait to let him do some rehab, let him get more comfortable, and show that, you know, this ACL, this knee injury is behind him. But again, from the Dolphins, I really don't have time.
Who's got time for that? If you have needed that position, you don't have time for that. You got to deal with it.
If Connor was healthy, if Connor was fully healthy, does not come off the ACL, I would say that he's probably the Dolphins' second priority behind Christian. You know, I'd probably say it's Christian, Connor, and then Rob Hunt. But with the ACL, I don't know. I almost kind of put Rob higher above there, because you don't know what the contract is going to be. You know, you have disagreements on that. You know, you have reservations about the knee. Connor is probably the most important offensive lineman. Probably Dolphins probably most important offensive lineman, because we saw how the offense really cratered once he got injured. But I keep on saying, like, the Dolphins don't have the luxury of waiting around, especially because I don't think that this is like a great center free agency class anyway. So I think that, you know, there's going to be some options, some guys that potentially fit. And if you can get them for, you know, right around what you were offering Connor, or maybe even a little bit less, and get, you know, 80% of that play, I think you'll take that, especially for a guy who, you know, game one, week one of the season, he's going to be ready to go. I think that, you know, it's kind of the unfortunate nature of the business, and obviously this injury that he sustained late in the season.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, it's so, you know, bad luck on the injury. But I, like I say, you just can't, it's too important a position. That's, you know, you have to lock that down, take care of that business, and then move on. You know, maybe they sign someone, maybe they don't sign, maybe, you know, who knows? You could wind up the Dolphins and Connor could, if the Dolphins don't want to, you know, if the Dolphins don't want to pay for what another free agent is, you know, demanding, or if they can't find anybody in the draft, they might wind up right back at Connor.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe it extends for a couple months, and then they can get him back for the cheap. But I don't know if that's the game I want
to. I don't think they. If they wind up there,
that's not sound process. Yeah.
No. That's not what. I'm sure that's not where their GPS led them. they followed the GPS, and it took them out to the Redlands instead of, like, you know, Kendall. So, but no, that's, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with Connor. Again, you know, I know I was looking at Pro Football Focus. He's still their top rated center, even with the ACL. I think that says as much about him as it does about, you know, the center free agency market. So we'll see how that plays out. And if he really does, if his, you know, kind of signing does draw out a little bit of time. All right, before we get out of here, we're gonna discuss this hypothetical trade that set Dolphins Twitter ablaze, got the attention of Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. It involves Jalen Waddle. If you didn't see last week, former Dolphins exec Mike Tannenbaum speaking on ESPN's Get Up, he's been floating out some hypothetical trades this offseason, and he floated one involving the Miami Dolphins, and he proposed the Dolphins trade wide receiver Jalen Waddle to the Kansas City Chiefs for their young stud cornerback Trent McDuffie, a one-for-one swap. I believe Waddle has two more years on his contract if the Dolphins exercise his fifth-year option. McDuffie would have 3 years left with the option. And Tannenbaum was pretty much saying, like, hey, he kind of, you know, foreshadowed the Dolphins cutting X. Yeah, he's like, hey, you got this young stud cornerback, first-team All-Pro that you can pair with Jalen Ramsey for the next couple years. You know, Dolphins don't have to pay Jalen Waddle top receiver money, because they're already paying Tyreek Hill top wide receiver money. And, you know, you're able to kind of create and kind of restruct a top defense to face off against some of these elite quarterbacks. Now, word got back to Tyreek Hill who Vicky said he was in Greece on an off-season trip, but he said that the thought of the Dolphins fan base even entertaining that was ludicrous. Jalen Waddle had some fun with it. He quote tweeted that tweet afterward, and he was like, "Man, it's crazy. It's a cold world. He's trying to get rid of your boy." Obviously, I think obviously, I think it was a bit of a tough season. Again, for some context, Jalen Waddle went over 1,000 yards for the third straight year to start third year in a row. He became the first player in franchise history to start his career with three straight 1,000 yard seasons. But there were some complaints about kind of his usage in the offense. A lot of people saying that Mike McDaniel was kind of forcing the ball to Tyreek sometimes. Waddle was kind of phased out of the offense. And Tua Tagovailoa even kind of alluded to that at some point during the season, saying that, hey, I think that sometimes he does question, where do I fit in this offense? And again, with this offense kind of, sputtering the way it did in the second half of the year, and a lot of people have started to question, like, hey, is this offense better served with, Tyreek being in the focal point and then, surrounding him with some complimentary pieces as opposed to, having two high usage wide receivers? I'm kind of under the belief that, yeah, I'm Team Tyreek. This is ludicrous. Obviously, Trent McDuffie is a great player, but no, you don't break up the best wide receiver duo in the NFL. And even if you're thinking long term, it doesn't make any sense to trade away your 23, 24-year-old stud wide receiver when you have your number one wide receiver who's 30 years old. By the time Waddle's up for the contract, Tyreek's already been talking about retirement. His contract's going to be up. He might be on the downside of his career. It doesn't make any sense. And I know, again, McDuffie's a great player, but Waddle's a great player in his own right. This is goofy. I'm gonna be honest. Like, I don't even know why we were entertaining this, but obviously it's the off season, so we got a little bit of down period, and stuff like this kind of takes off. So, and it got word got back to some of the Dolphins top players as well. But nah, I think this is that's a ridiculous notion that you would even.
I'll take it the other way. Why are the
I
Chiefs
would
in the
Chiefs.
position to, why are the Chiefs in the position to help the Dolphins? Why is it their approach? This is one of the things that used to annoy the out of me when I was both as an NHL reporter, NFL reporter, and Mike Tannenbaum did with what a lot of fans do. They come up with this great trade that actually would help. I think it would help the Dolphins if they made that trade. Shame to lose Jalen Waddle, but I think it would help the Dolphins if they made that trade. But you overlook the Kansas City Chiefs are not in the business. The other team's not in the business of making your team better. And why would the Chiefs say, oh, yeah, let's make that defense better so when we run into them in the playoffs this year?
He shut us down. I had to actually shut down.
Right, exactly. Why? Why? What? So they can get, I mean, yeah, Jalen Waddle is better than any wide receiver the Chiefs have right now. They just won the second straight Super Bowl
No wide receivers.
with that group of, everybody out there dribbling balls all season, and then suddenly, in January and February, they start catching them, and they did it with that group. So why wouldn't the Chiefs say, yeah, okay, look. He's better than anybody we got, but let's hope one of these boys starts to learn to catch the ball. Hey, then look what might happen. What happens then? No, the reason the Chiefs got to the Super Bowl, really, I mean, yeah, they have Patrick Mahomes, obviously.
But
they have an
their
experience, they have
defense on
Andy
my
Reid,
team.
obviously, but
That was
their
good.
defense played very well the whole season. Why would you mess with that? So yeah, okay. And on the Dolphins end, okay, yeah, maybe Jalen Waddle was underused this year. That's not a trade him solution. That's a figure out how to use him solution so that everybody is more productive.
But I have seen from I've seen it floated around though, the people talking about trading Waddle in order to make a more complimentary offense. And I don't buy that. I think that this offense is special. I think this offense is special because you have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle on the same team,
Well,
And I, and
did
I
nobody
and
nobody
frankly, I
sat
don't
there and
trust the
said, "Hey,
Dolphins to get another Jalen Waddle, like frankly.
did this is most ridiculous. Nobody said to the Steelers, hey, John Starworth really come into his own. You got Swan and Starworth. Let's trade one of them. Nobody said, oh, John Taylor's really starting to come out now with San Francisco. His stuff's coming through. You already got Jerry Rice. Let's trade one of them. Nobody said with the Marx Brothers, we got Duper and Clay. Why don't we trade one of them? They eventually did lose, I think it was Clayton moved along first, but these guys have been together, 2 years?
2 years, yeah.
2 years, and I think this is, if there were, like I said, if there was a problem of underusing Jaylen Wall, and I understand, yes, there were times they were trying to force the ball to Tyreek, like, it must get the ball to Tyreek. It was like a comic book. But the solution is not trade the other good guy. The solution is, hey, let's not force the ball so much to one great wide receiver. Let's use the other potentially great wide receiver too, to make both of them really, really productive together. That's how this is supposed to work. That's how a good coaching staff would make it work. Who sits there and says these days in an offensive league, yes, you need defense. Obviously, we saw that with the teams that won the Super Bowl, that were in the Super Bowl. But who says, yeah, we got two fast guys out there in a league where they, you can look at somebody cross-eyed and get an illegal contact flag. Let's break them up. Yeah, let's trade one of them. Let's trade one of them. And then the dumber idea is, let's the team that just won two straight Super Bowls, they're going to make a trade that's going to help a team that might prevent them from winning a third straight Super Bowl. Yeah, that's going to happen. What? I heard the price of meth is going down, but daggone, this is ridiculous.
Chris Greer has he surprised us the past couple off seasons, but I will say I will be flabbergasted. I don't even know what adjective to use. I will be a lot of things if they traded Jaylen Waddle. Again, Tyreek Hill has no intentions of parting with the Penguin. He said Waddle's better than he was at this point of his career, and the stats kind of prove that.
I think Tyreek understands also. If yes, Tyreek, he wants the ball. But if you properly use Waddle and keep him a threat, that opens things up for Tyreek. So Tyreek didn't get open all, some of those plays he was ridiculously open. It wasn't just because he's the fastest guy on the field.
Because you got it was because not too far behind him on the other side of the field.
Right. It was because they had to deal with the other guy too. You had to worry about him too. And so, guys get frozen up when, okay, who do I help with? And that speed creates just that speed coming out of two places creates that hesitancy of, makes that hesitancy. You have to make decisions quick. You better make the right decision. You make the wrong decision, you're dead. You make too long to make, you take a half second too long to make a decision, a quarter second too long, you're dead. That's what that does. That, I can't with these people. I can't, these folks.
I'll give Tyreek a final word. He said him and Tua were special before me and will be special after I leave. So as far as Tyreek Hill is concerned, those two will be teammates in 2024. All right, that brings us to the end of another edition of the Dolphins and Dead podcast. I want to thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. As always, remember to subscribe to the Miami Herald YouTube page, like, share, comment, as well as subscribe to the Miami Herald. Always want you to subscribe to the Miami Herald, but if there's any week I want you to subscribe to the Miami Herald, it's this week for the Combine. I have tons of content from Mike McDaniel, Chris Greer, prospect availabilities. The next future Dolphins are all here in Indianapolis, so we'll be speaking to a lot of these guys, as well as whatever pops up, because a lot of stuff, a lot of news.
Always does. Always does.
Now, what were you saying?
As it always does. Always does. Something always happens.
Most definitely. So I'm excited for it. Yeah, definitely stay locked to the Miami Herald for your latest Dolphins updates. We'll be back next week to recap another week of Dolphins football and developments and news. We will, because we're definitely going to have some
All right. But I gotta get my hair done then, and get my bald spot restyled.
Fresh line up. Hey, I'll send you to my guy, man.
I got my Ecuadorians and Dominicans down the block, man.
Just make sure. We'll be back next week. Until then, you guys take care. See ya. All right.